And welcome, folks. Ryan Larson live here, Mount Mary University podcast on the Mount Mary University Sports Network. Thanks for tuning in. The Blue Angels starting off their softball season down in Fort Myers, Florida. First game was against University Minnesota Morris. It was a great game. And for you Blue Angels fans, historic day. First time since joining the NCAA that MMU began the season with a victory. Not only that, but they're on a good pace here right now. Right now they're 2-4, but day one they split, went 1-1, as I said, went up against Minnesota Morris in that first game, and Alverno in the second game. That UMM game, Mount Mary was behind in the hit column, but they came and made every base runner count. I tell you what, they won 5-4, but they lost that hit battle 14-5 to University of Minnesota Morris. Now, that was a lot of timely pitching, getting those ground balls. Just a huge game by Nicky Feske, and an absolutely stunning performance by the defense, not letting any of those runs cross home plate at the very end there. There were a couple opportunities for University of Minnesota Morris to get on top, but they shut them right out. It was a great team effort, great team victory, and a heck of a way to start off the year. University of Minnesota Morris was a decent team last year, finished in the middle of the GMAC. Good team, brought a lot of talent this year, but looks like Mount Mary got the upper hand, scored early, got on top early, and never gave it up. It was a 3-run top of the first, and they would never surrender the lead after that. It was a great game. Next was going up against Alverno College from Milwaukee. I guess they figured best time to play each other is a couple thousand miles away from Wisconsin. But it was a great game, great day. It was a tough loss, though. Some highlights in that one. Contreras came in and got 3 strikeouts as she faced just 8 batters in her relief efforts. She gave up no runs, no hits. It was a great, great game for her. Unfortunately, Mount Mary University couldn't get a hit. They did get on base, prevented that perfect game, but Schneider pitched one heck of a game. Hit her spots in and out for Alverno, and it was just a tough, tough time for MMU to get much in play. They did put the ball in play, but nothing could really get by that defense. Strong defense there for Alverno. They're at 3-3 as of today in this spring trip. They battled some tough teams as well. Day two, though, started off on a rough start against Swarthmore. Swarthmore started off the first inning, 7 runs in the top of that inning. But a few highlights for MMU. Peyton Hintz was 1-for-3. She scored a run. And Contreras went 4 and gave up 5 runs, but only 2 of those runs were earned. After that, MMU went up against New Jersey City University. And that's when you saw it all come together for Mount Mary University. Nicole Wagon had a day 2-for-4 from the plate, scored a run, had a pair of RBIs. Ashley Contreras, another great day. This freshman has been playing her heart out down here in Florida, and it shows. 2-for-4 in the game against New Jersey City. She had a pair of doubles again and 2 RBIs. Feske went the complete 7 innings, gave up just 9 hits, had 7 strikeouts, and gave up just 3 runs. After that came day 3. And I tell you, folks, you look at the schedule beforehand and you would have thought that Mount Mary might not even have a prayer against these teams. St. Joseph's went deep into the postseason, won their conference tournament. They went to the national tournament where they lost in the second round to Bridgewater State University, which was the second team that Mount Mary University played that day. So 2 nationally recognized teams back-to-back, probably one of the toughest days in MMU history for the softball team. But at first game against St. Joe's, it was tough. Gave up 7 runs at the top of the first, But they came fighting right back. They didn't give up, folks. And you could tell they were putting good hits on the ball even when they couldn't get it past the infield. Those were just some scorchers, some great defensive play by St. Joe's. But in the third inning, MMU came fighting back, got three runs, gave up a few in the top of the fourth. But in their turn in the fourth, they came back with four runs, never giving in. They only went five innings in that, but you gotta take them where you can. They only gave in one error during that game and some great offensive performances. Mackenzie Harnick, 1-for-2 from the plate, recorded a first triple of the season for MMU, scored two runs, and reached base twice by ball. Very patient leadoff hitter. It's a great sign for Blue Angels fans to see that patience at the top of the lineup against such a great team like St. Joseph's. You had Katie Edwards in that same game go 2-for-3, a breakout game for Edwards, three RBIs in that one. Peyton Hintz, 2-for-3, two RBIs and a double. And Contreras, again, great day, 2-for-3 from the plate, pair of RBIs and a double. Contreras knocking the stuffing out of the ball so far this season, and she's only played in six games so far. She has just been dominating, above 300 average on the year. And I tell you, with her pitching picking up, with her hitting picking up, she is going to be one of the all-time greats at MMU. You can mark me down for that. Last game so far was against Bridgewater State. It was a tough, tough game. The Blue Angels couldn't muster a hit in that one. They did get on base, but they could not get a hit. One inning, I believe it was top of the fourth. Yep, it was the top of the fourth. Three rockets towards third base, just robbed by the third baseman. McCann had a great glove. And I tell you what, those balls could not be hit any harder. One laced right, ticketed. I'm telling you, folks, that was going for at least a single. If it got by her and that outfielder, that left fielder didn't get a good cut on that, I'm telling you, that could have went for two, and that might have started the rally. It was 5-0 going into the fifth inning against, again, a nationally recognized team. Last year, went to the third round in the national softball tournament for D3. So something to hang their hats on. They never gave in. Their defense was always there, but Bridgewater State played that small ball, and the three unearned runs in that fifth inning was enough to give Bridgewater State the early five-inning victory. And as I said, MMU sits 2-4 so far on the season, and they're looking to see what they can do with the rest of the trip. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back here on the Mount Mary University Sports Network.
There are over 360,000 NCAA student-athletes, and just about all of us will be going pro in something other than sports. The NCAA reminds us to ask ourselves, what will we do? Over the last 100 years, the NCAA has helped millions of student-athletes find their power outside the field, court, and rink. NCAA, celebrating 100 years of student-athletes.
Hi, folks. Ryan Larson back here on Mount Mary University podcast, joined by head softball coach Tim Edwards. Coach, how you doing?
Doing great.
Great. So far we're 2-4. We played some really, really tough teams so far. But what can you tell me? How happy are you with the play of the team so far?
Well, obviously we have room for improvement, but I'm extremely pleased with the way the freshmen have come on and really stepped up, battled in every situation. The team has never given up in any contest we've been in so far this week. They kind of knew they were going to be outmatched a couple times. They started a little scared, but then they picked it up and found out that they could compete. And I was really pleased with their effort and their attitudes in that, you know, just that wanting to win and compete and do well.
When you're talking about not giving up and not being scared, you went up against some really, really tough teams, St. Joe's for one, and Bridgewater State for another, two teams that made it into the second round at least of the NCAA tournament.
They met started
each other.
Off with a
Bridgewater
hit,
won.
And that
but
got
you guys played
their
really, really well
up.
Against St. Joe's. You only went to the fifth inning, but you scored seven runs off some of the top talent.
They started
what can you
the ball
tell me about that game in particular
and
for your team?
And confidence grew,
kind of means.
You know, we put a great
They knew they were a top-ranked team. The coach from St. Joe complimented me at the end of the game.
The bats were kind
of
silent. They played a little tentative.
Playing. But he thought they did a great job competing against his team. And so I can't be more pleased with that.
Well, let's go to day one. We're going to work backwards here because that's just how I work. I'm a crazy guy. So let's talk about the first day. You guys went up against University of Minnesota Morris, and then you went up against Alverno. Two pretty tough teams so far. But what does it actually mean for that first day to get that victory, and then conversely, play well against a team that you hopefully see a lot in the future?
Right. We didn't know much about Morris coming in, but I think the girls were ready. The fact that we went through fall ball and didn't get to play a competitive day and didn't get to have a game, and then to go through, you know, the whole month of February of in the gym and just working on fundamentals and going at things, I think they came in ready to play. I think going out Friday night on the getting on the field and actually getting on our feet in the dirt, you know, preparing for the game, getting a practice in, helped immensely. And I think they came in and just were ready to play. They didn't care who the opponent was. Obviously, we had talked about Alverno a little bit beforehand because it is a school in our home area. We would like to do well against them. And maybe I put a little too much pressure on them. But actually, they played well. You know, I know in years past that it's usually been a runaway game. So I was just pleased at the effort and how they worked to be competitive. You know, I hope we open some eyes and show that our program is improving, and that, you know, and I hope the girls realize that they can compete with anybody now at this time.
Let's talk a little bit about Ashley Contreras. Now, she came in that Alverno game. It was a tough game, but she came in the fourth inning, got some big outs. She faced eight batters, struck out three, gave up no runs and no hits. Along with that, she has been an active bat, one of the most active bats on your team, besides Katie Edwards, who's leading right now in RBIs. But what does it mean to the team to have such a strong start from one of your highest recruits?
Ashley was a huge asset that we landed this year. I recruited her hard out of Texas. I recruited her for pitching. And I'd seen her play, and I knew she could swing the bat, but I think I'm a little bit surprised at how well she's swinging the bat right now, especially as a freshman to step into this level of competition, and she's just been very confident. Her pitching is doing well. And then I've also put her in the outfield because I wanted to keep her bat in the game, and she's done a tremendous job out in right field. I mean, it hasn't been a surprise because I know she's a good player, but it's still been a little bit surprising at the utility work that she's been able to do and do more things than what I really, you know, hoped that she could do. So it's been a good surprise.
Well, you've seen some great production so far out of both your brand new pitchers. What do you think that's going to mean going through the rest of the season to have such solid pitching?
We're going to get stronger in the pitching position. They're doing a great job. They've started the season well. But we're only going to get better. Nikki Feske, junior college transfer, Menominee Falls High School girl. She's come in with leadership and experience, and it's helping settle down the freshmen. She's a competitor. She hates to lose, and she is really fighting and making us better right off the bat. And I think that's helping Ashley as a freshman come into this environment. I just think we're going to be better as the year goes on.
All right, Coach. And last but not least, we talk about being better. Most people do it by wins and losses, but honestly, it's about the success. How are you going to rate at the end of the year whether or not this team was successful?
Just basically based on our competitiveness. That was the goal going into this year, was how do we compete? You know, wins or losses are great, but as a young program that's really just getting a second breath and a new start, I just want to compete every time we're on the field, and I don't care who we play. I want them to feel like they're not going to back down from anybody. They're going to give their best. Effort and attitude is the most important thing that I ask of any of my players. If they come in with a positive attitude and they give me the best effort they have, then I will deem this a very successful season.
All right, Coach. Thank you very much. That was Coach Tim Edwards. We appreciate you stopping by. Hopefully we'll hear a lot more from you this year on the podcast.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, folks. We'll be right back here on the Mount Mary University Sports Network.
There are over 400,000 NCAA student athletes, and just about all of us will be going pro in something other than sports.
All right, folks, welcome back. Ryan Larson here on the Mount Mary University podcast in beautiful Fort Myers, Florida. I wonder what it's like in Wisconsin. I'm guessing it's not 85, sunny, and pretty much perfect. Sorry to rub it in, folks. We're going to close today's podcast talking a little bit about, why not, NFL free agency. Some action going around. If you're a Packers fan, you got to be pleased so far. Packers re-signed Randall Cobb, 4-year deal, about $40 million. Maybe a bit of a hometown discount. Hopefully, Pack Attack can take advantage. Maybe sign a few more. They just re-signed Brian Bulaga, a tackle, hopefully to ensure the safety of Aaron Rodgers. Maybe that great MVP quarterback can get another Super Bowl under his belt. Hopefully another career year for Aaron Rodgers. For you unfortunate Bears fans, see a little change in scenery. Brandon Marshall gone for a fifth-round pick. Looks like a move. The Bears are trying to save a little cap space. Speaking of which, looks like Cutler is not going anywhere. Shopped him around this little three-day free agency period. Not too many buyers for the disgruntled quarterback at times, or most of the time, as it seems by his body language. Good quarterback, but doesn't seem to be really doing well in Chicago. Don't know if it's the setting, the coaches. He's had a couple regimes go through, but we'll see what they do this year. Trying to make some moves, still have Forte, but really haven't done much except for get rid of some of the dead weight so far. And with the seventh pick in the first round of the draft, we'll see where the Bears go, if they're going to go for a draft quarterback, work him in to replace Cutler, or if they're just going to look for some protection for Cutler. We'll see how they do it. Other news in free agency, it looks like Frank Gore was oh so close to going to Philadelphia, but in the 11th hour decided to sign with the Colts. And now with the Colts, they have a couple options. Talking to Andre Johnson, trying to really get Andrew Luck some tools to use to push them further into that AFC playoff, maybe bring them another Super Bowl victory. But we'll see if they can land Johnson or not. They still have Wayne, still have a hefty amount of solid tight ends there in Indianapolis, but we'll see what they do. Last on the docket, but first for most people, Darrelle Revis still waiting to sign. Not sure where he's going to go. A lot of reports saying that if deal doesn't get done by 4 o'clock Eastern, that Revis might be going back to the Jets. How about that, folks? What would that be like, to leave for a year for top dollar, come back for top money? We'll see how that goes. We'll see if the Packers maybe sniff. I'd like to see Darrelle Revis in a Packers uniform. I'll tell you what, maybe a second coming of Charles Woodson. I might be the only one thinking that, but hey, Packers are losing Tremone Williams most likely unless they can get a deal done, but it doesn't seem likely he's going to test the free agent pool. So there's going to be a couple spots open in the Packers' defensive backfield, and I'll tell you right now, folks, Revis, still a productive cornerback, great shutdown, lockdown defender, and the Packers, I think they could use him in their system. Might be a bit expensive, though. We'll see. The Packers don't like to spend too much money. Well, folks, this is Ryan Larson. Next time, we'll hopefully have our co-host, Mark Heidorf, to help us out for our next podcast. But thanks for tuning in. It's been a blast. Great time here in Fort Myers, Florida. Hopefully, a couple more Blue Angels victories along the way. Last year, Blue Angels was 3-19. They already have two victories on the season, and they're looking good. Even in some of those losses, they play hard, they play to the last pitch, and they never give up, and that's just something you love to see if you're a Mount Mary University softball fan. Well, folks, thanks for tuning in. I am Ryan Larson. This is the Mount Mary University Podcast.
Enjoy your stay. It's good to have you with us, even if it's just for the day. We hope you enjoy your stay. Outside the sun is shining. It seems like heaven ain't far away. It's good to have you with us, even if it's just for the day.